On this week's Pop Buzz podcast, we'll be chatting through all the latest news from the Oscars, Chris Lilley's return to Netflix, that vegan YouTuber with the pet fox, don't get me started, and our very special guest this week, 5 Seconds of Summer. We got some info out of them on the new album, on the live shows, and of course, current single Want You Back, so stay tuned for that. But first, time to look at the week's biggest stories in WTF news.
What the f*** is happening in the news?
Happy awards season, everybody.
Happy awards season.
Well, I mean, it's over now.
Yeah, it's over, right?
I suppose
yeah,
it's
it
is. Done. All right. What a season it was.
What a season. What a truly, truly wonderful season.
And how many awards did we get?
So many.
All of them.
8 BAFTAs and 3 Grammys, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
We probably won a Grammy. Everyone wins a Grammy.
Award.
One SAG.
Just the single SAG.
Just one.
Just the one half a SAG.
Yeah, so did anyone watch the Oscars?
No, it's on too late over here, isn't it? Let's be honest. Starts at 1 a.m. our time, doesn't it?
Something
past my bedtime.
Yeah. I usually wait until I've seen Nicole Kidman on the red carpet and go to bed. I didn't even wait this year.
Fair enough.
She couldn't bear it.
Yeah.
Well, more importantly, did you watch any of the pictures nominated for Best Picture?
Right, who do we have? Okay, Dunkirk's the big one. I've not seen it, but I imagine most people have, right?
I've seen that one.
Okay. Shape of Water, the winner, I have not seen. No. Has anyone seen it?
No.
Okay.
Now, well, everyone I've heard online, they've said, oh, it's my favourite film ever. I mean, it came out three weeks ago, but go off.
Mm.
But I do not know a single person in real life that's seen it.
No.
Yeah, no, I don't know anyone who's seen it either. What were the other ones? Call Me By Your Name.
Call Me By Your Name, 3 Billboards, Darkest Hour, did we mention that?
Darkest No, I've not seen that either.
The Post.
No.
Phantom Thread, never heard of it. And Get Out!
Oh, Get Out, yeah, okay, I've seen a Get Out.
Yay!
I've seen 3 Billboards and I'm seeing Call Me By Your Name tomorrow. I feel like a bit of a bad gay for not have seen it.
Not have seen it.
But not
neither seen it nor seen it.
I feel like a bad gay for not having seen it.
Oh no,
yet.
We're leaving the mistaken. Don't be ridiculous. You can't scoot past that one. But the point is you're finally seeing Call Me By Your Name tomorrow.
Yes, I am.
Very nice. Excited?
Yes, I am, because I was very excited by Timothée's suit.
Timothée?
At the Oscars. Oh, that all-white suit. Yes, please. That was my highlight from the Oscars. What was yours?
Any others?
Well, I don't know.
You don't have a highlight?
Nah.
Shame.
Maybe Jennifer Garner realising that she...
Yeah.
What did
Solid
she
meme, and we'll never know the answer, yeah.
She suddenly remembered Ben Affleck's Phoenix tattoo.
Yeah. I like the moment, was it with Jodie Foster and Jennifer Lawrence? And they were trying to make out that Meryl Streep was some sort of bully who kind of pushes them down the stairs. I was kind of here for that gag.
That's funny. Yeah. It's a funny moment.
It was kind of nice, wasn't it?
Yeah. I mean,
but...
Oh.
No, but it wasn't all nice in the ceremony, was it?
Oh, really?
Well,
what happened?
Did you not see the beef with
Emma Stone? I have missed so much of this. Do fill me in.
Let me fill you in.
All right.
Craig David.
Nice.
Well, Emma Stone presented Best Director at the awards.
Oh, yes.
And as we all know, the ratio of male to female nominees is terrible.
Yes.
It's ridiculous. Greta Gerwig was nominated this year. She was the 5th female ever to be nominated in that category.
God, I did not know that.
Only one has won, which is Catherine Bigelow, legend.
Mm-hmm.
But when Emma Stone presented the award, she did her little thing, and then she went, "These 4 men and Greta Gerwig."
Ah.
And everybody kicked off.
Mm. Right, okay.
And let me tell you 4 why.
Please do.
Well, yeah, it's great that Greta Gerwig got nominated.
Yeah, 100%.
But also in that category was Jordan Peele, who was the 5th, I'm pretty sure he was the 5th black man to ever be nominated for that award.
Wow.
And Guillermo del Toro, who is an immigrant from Mexico.
Who won, right?
He won. Yes. So there was 2 other minorities in that category, alongside Greta.
Mm.
And people are sort of calling Emma out for white feminism because she only... mentioned Greta by name and sort of gave her name recognition and everything.
I mean, the thing is, like, white feminism, or is it just popularism? Because I just feel like a lot of the time with, like, I don't know, it just didn't... It obviously wasn't very well thought out.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. so I'm... I doubt she was trying to think of, like, a really hardcore feminist argument. I think she was just like, how can I appear woke?
Yeah, you know?
Yeah,
maybe,
but,
yeah.
I mean, that's the argument
but
of white feminism, isn't it?
Well, I feel like it wasn't... No, yeah, I guess they go hand in hand, really. Yeah. It's ignorance. It's ignorance, isn't it? And so you're just like, oh, okay. I just wish people wouldn't try so hard. You know what? Like, if that's... It just seemed really try hard to
me. Yeah, no, I agree. It's not if you're going to say something, know what you're going to say before you do it. How about that? He said hosting a podcast, but you know what I mean? Like, know what you're going to say
on
these
issues. That was a
fairly
diverse category. Emma,
shame.
Please. Stop it.
Oh, well, never mind. Oh, never mind. Slight controversy at the Oscars, but there you go. Anything else we want to discuss this week?
I've got some interesting news from Down Under.
Please go for it.
That was a terrible accent, wasn't it? Well, Summer Heights High comedian Chris Lilley has signed a deal with Netflix for a new... Well, they've billed it as a 10-part comedy series.
Right.
They're not saying if it's new or if it's, like, old characters. But obviously, you'll probably be familiar with Jemai and Mr. G from Summer Heights High. And then it was obviously Jonah from Tonga. And that's kind of where we get into the kind of controversial comedy that he's done, because he's been called out for having negative stereotypes of Pacific Islanders in his comedy. There was also the use of blackface as well. So on the one hand, people were very, very excited to see him come back. And then on the other hand, people were like, no.
Yeah. People are a bit more woke to his behaviour these days.
So were you two fans?
I loved Summer Heights High, man. Uh-huh. But Mr. G was a comic bit of genius. Mm-hmm. But I wish I could remember who this was. But I saw a series of brilliant, brilliant tweets the other day where someone was arguing, I loved Summer Heights High, and because Jonah was a nicely portrayed character, there was no malice to him or anything, you kind of let it slide a bit watching it, and that was a mistake, and I'm sorry. And it's like, blackface is blackface, man. There's no sugarcoat in it. It's a stupid, stupid move.
Yeah.
So it's disappointing, because I am a fan of other stuff within his realm, but you can't tolerate that.
After
come on.
He did that as well. He did it again in his next series, didn't he?
And Angry Boys, he reprised the character and then was playing, doing raps and stuff.
The thing is with it, like, that kind of quote-unquote offensive humour, which he clearly loves, like, was his least funny stuff
as
well.
It really was.
Give me Mr. G or Jemai any day over those other characters. So I guess the question is, should he be allowed back?
I mean, I'm yet to see... learning, because he did it again. Yeah. Angry Boys was a fair few years ago now. I don't know. It's a bit disappointing to see someone continually get given these massive opportunities. But then at the same time, like I say, so many millions of people have watched Summer Heights High around the world and continue to. It's repeated all the time. It's clearly been a big hit on streaming services, hence why Netflix are giving him some cash. So unless people react against it and say, actually, no, you're not having it this time, then nothing's really going to change there, is it?
Yeah.
Which is a shame. All I can hope at this point is that he's learned his lesson. For God's sake, man, don't try it again.
Yeah, I think that's it. I'm here for it if... And I think it's a big if. Firstly, that he doesn't do any characters like that again.
Yeah.
But he also goes some way to kind of acknowledge his faults in previous characters and amends for it. Like, he can't have a free pass, but equally, he should be given a chance to atone himself, I think. Or make amends.
Yeah.
So... let's give it a go.
And then we'll move on to Matt Lucas and David Walliams, who did exactly the same thing in Little Britain for years.
But they're, like, openly ashamed of those characters.
I hope canceled. So. I hope so.
And, like, it's quite one of those things with time. You're just like, oh, my God.
I know
they would say they would never do Little Britain again.
Yeah, I hope
so.
I mean,
very strange.
How did it end up on TV anyway?
That's the mad part.
It was a different time, Katie. Racism didn't exist back then.
I'm sorry, are we talking about 2008 or 1920?
We were years away from Get Out. Nobody knew what they were doing. Yeah.
Ridiculous.
Yeah, it's pretty appalling excuses, isn't it?
I can't believe Netflix.
Yeah, it's
not. But
my personal feeling is probably going to be a Jemai or Mr. G spin-off, and it's been sold on that basis that it would be characters like
You'd
that.
You'd imagine, wouldn't you?
So. Yeah.
Well, we'll see. We'll keep our eyes peeled. Meant to air this summer anyway, so we'll keep our eyes peeled for that one. Finally, the most ridiculous story of the year, actually. I was about to say the week. No, it's the year. This blows my mind. In the world of YouTubers, every week we have some kind of scandal, some kind of ridiculous story. I honestly don't think I've seen any more ridiculous than this. A vegan YouTuber with a pet fox has tried to make that fox go vegan as well? There's a lot to unpack.
I have several questions.
I mean, dear Lord. So her name is Sonia C or Sonia Sai. It's S-A-E. I'm sorry, I don't know how to pronounce it. But anyway, Sonia put a post up on her Facebook page saying that, quote, modern science permits carnivore animals to receive all their needed amino acids from a victimless source. You're making a decision on the diet of a fox. Next question, why do you have a pet fox? Third question,
exactly.
Why is that fox named, wait for it, Jumanji? That's right, the fox is called Jumanji. Obviously, everyone popped off with many, many opinions about this. I would like yours, please. Opinions.
So I feel like the main issue is, why do you have a pet fox?
That's big issue number one.
Where does one acquire a pet fox to begin with? Because as far as I'm concerned, you can't go to like a pet store.
Indeed.
Do you like catch one from like birth? Do you, abandoned foxes? But even then, like, can it be domesticated? Like, yeah. I'm not quite sure about that.
Yeah.
Do I want a pet fox? Possibly.
Yes.
Possibly. I wouldn't mind, you know, walking around London late at night. You know, you're a bit pissed, mm-hmm. and you're like, oh, is that a ghost? No, it's a ginger fox.
Yeah.
And they, like, walk with
that.
You, and it's really nice.
That
know?
Is true.
I think it could be a nice companion, that's what I'm saying. On the vegan diet, though, I'm like, well, maybe the fox likes it.
Oh, come on. How's what? The fox meant to make the decision?
Yeah, exactly. Like, does the fox even care? I doubt, like, is the fox sitting there going, oh, I just wish I could have a bit of steak.
Is it getting the right supplements it needs?
Oh,
I mean, it's a carnivore.
God.
I kind of feel like, fine.
Oh, come
on. I'm not that bothered about the vegan food.
No, I am.
I am very bothered about
it. What vegan, like, did they disclose what vegan food?
I mean, I could go into it. It's not going to be scintillating listening. There's various ingredients.
Chickpeas.
How do you know the fox doesn't want to eat some vegan food? I don't know that.
Have you spoken to the fox?
Have you spoken to his chef?
Look, I once saw a documentary called Fantastic Mr. Fox. Now, that fox was chasing cider and various types of meat. Not vegan, all right? Not vegan food. No, but in all seriousness, I mean, the arrogance of thinking, I will control this carnivorous animal's diet, which, by the way, is hardly a household pet anyway. I mean,
but that's what you do with all pets anyway. You decide what it eats.
Yeah. So, like, so would you think, oh, I'm going to make my dog vegan?
Well, if I were a dog, I wouldn't want, you know what I wouldn't like? I wouldn't like dried food. I think that's mean.
Sure.
But does the dog get an option in that? No, it don't.
But the preferred dog diets that come from proper farmers, like, you know the raw diet or something like that, that you'd give a dog, the kind of really posh, nutritious stuff. It's meat-based, fam. It's meat-based because they need it.
I'm just saying.
Do you know what? Sorry. I'm just thinking.
Please do. Please go for it.
My dog doesn't eat anything green, and I know dogs are colorblind. She will not eat. It doesn't matter what it is. If it's green, she's not eating it.
That's amazing.
So...
So case closed, quickly.
Done.
But maybe if she had more carrots.
Oh, mate.
You know,
mate.
See in the dark.
Blows my mind. If there's any foxes listening, do get in touch. Tweet us at PopBuzz. Let us know if you'd be up for a vegan-based diet. We'll settle that debate next week.
Hello, James from Pop Buzz here in a very, very swanky hotel in deepest, darkest London, joined now by 5 Seconds of Summer. Hello, guys.
Hello.
It's really nice to see you.
Not a sly dig about the swanky hotel.
I think it's
throwing
swanky.
Shade at us.
I am not throwing shade at you nor the hotel. It's genuinely swanky.
It is nice.
It is pretty textbook definition swanky.
I mean, yeah, we've got a lot of, there's a lot of wood. I'd be gutted if we had a fire in this room.
You
at the
tell
minute,
me
but, you know,
that.
Hey, good work.
Okay.
Can you tell they've been out the night before? Here we go. Welcome back to the UK, first of all, guys. Welcome back. Congrats on the single. We really, really love it. And now it's been successful and everything. Can you admit, were you nervous or not when it was coming out? Were you actually nervous?
Yes.
A little bit?
I think we were nervous when we actually had just written it, but we lived with it for so long before it actually came out, like... at least a couple months we had it before it came out, so we had a while to kind of prepare. So it wasn't. I don't think we were nervous of the day, But it's kind of just a start for that song. It's I don't think we've reached peak, the peak success level, I guess. But it's been a success in the fact that fans love it and people are responding really well.
No, it's great, man. It's really, really great. Music video coming. Have you shot it? Have you got ideas? Yes. Can I have a hint what's going on with it?
We've shot it.
Okay.
And the one clue that I will give you is performance.
Performance. I mean, unique. A performance in a music video.
Like a good gasoline.
That is unheard of.
It's narrowing down the options so much, boys. I wanted to ask, of course I'm going to ask about the album as well. How reflective is that? Because I won't say the name because a label person will kill me. But I've heard another song, and which is also, we'll bleep it.
Oh, nice.
Amazing.
Oh, thanks.
Possibly my favorite one of yours. Seriously, I really, really love it.
Man.
And what's great about it is that it's completely different from your other stuff and completely different from Want You Back. So on the album, are we going to see loads of different genres popping up?
Yeah, you'll see a lot of different influence on this album.
Nice.
And it took us a long time to make, nearly 2 years. So it was filling in the gaps of things we don't have song-wise. So it's a very dynamic album.
We opened a few doors in which we can venture down in the future.
Nice. Mm. No, it's a good vibe to have. Absolutely. Any other faves to kind of look out for? Any hints for fans want to? Any tracks you're particularly looking forward to playing live? I suppose.
Yeah, the one that we just bleeped out.
Yeah, we will bleep it. I promise.
That you've heard. The second single is a really, I think, it was a really beautiful, special song, and that's one to look out for. I think it's going to be a fan favorite.
Exciting, man. Exciting. It really, really is. We should talk about who you're working with as well, because we've put full show, people. We should talk about who you've been working as well. Mike Elizondo, you've been working with him, producer.
Yeah,
so was that, I mean, we probably know him best for his stuff on Blurry Face with 21 Pilots. Was that what kind of led you guys to work with him there?
I think he's even more known for his work. So he was, back in the day, he was Dr. Dre's bass player, like his right-hand man, and then was writing, did a lot, if not all of the earlier Eminem stuff and like the 50 Cent stuff and all that kind of hip hop world he was in.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was really cool to have that hip hop influence for a couple songs on the album.
And it's interesting because he's actually like he's also known in another area of being like one of the best bassists of all time.
Yeah.
And so it was really interesting taking someone with that sensibility and putting it into like a modern rock type.
Nice.
Well, he's great at guitar music too, because he's done Avenged Sevenfold's most popular stuff as well, which is crazy. He's a very diverse musician and producer.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
No, it's interesting. In terms of other people, I mean, it's interesting because we've seen Callum in particular. I remember seeing a picture a while back of you in the studio with, it was Feldy, it was, I think it was Mark and Travis were in there from Blink, maybe Steve Aoki. I mean, was this Five Sauce Sessions? Is this you just hanging out in a studio? What's going on?
That's Callum and his time off.
that was a superstar.
So strange, because I didn't initially go there to write.
Right.
I just went there to kind of hang out. John was like, come over. Mark's going to be here. Travis's going to be here. Steve's going to be here. I was like, all right, I'll come over. I'll drink some coffee. And then he's like, let's write a song. And I was like, oh, okay. And we write a song, and it's not for us, but it's a song.
For someone.
It's somewhere out there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we're saying like all these different genres and stuff. Who else have you been kind of working with in the production side of things and the co-write side of things? Anyone of note there?
We worked a lot with Justin Tranter, who originally was in a band called Semi Precious Weapons. He's been an amazing influence on this album. His lyrical tone and his lessons for us as songwriters has been amazing. Andrew Watt, Ali Tamposi. We wrote, that's who the bleep song is with, and the second single.
Sure.
And we can't wait to make more music with them. Those sessions were especially inspiring to us, so we can't wait to go back and make more. I felt like we got to a point as well. It's like that with every album. You reach a point where you're making good stuff, and it's all rolling along, and then it's finished. But you're not actually finished writing, so that's the best part. Like, I can't wait to, you know, return and make more music with them.
100%. And how much from the sessions then are we not going to hear? How many songs are out there finished for this? Yeah, I heard a lot, right?
A lot. Like, maybe people won't hear a good, like, 70% of songs that we've written.
Wow. Yeah. Mm. Fair play. And are they going to be saved for a rainy day? Do you think they'll ever come back?
I like to think that a couple of them will be able to see the light of day again. Like whether or not it's later on for us and it like the songs come back around. Cause like that happens sometimes where a song that you've written like a couple of years ago, you'll like remember that you have it and you'll be like, oh my God, like we forgot about that one. And it kind of makes sense. Yeah. And I think that'll happen for the next record, like a couple of the songs. And if not, like I'd like somebody else to have the songs.
Yeah.
Like I think like these are songs that we've like poured a lot of our heart into, and sure. I think it would be a shame for people not to hear it.
Yeah, is that something you guys are looking into more and more? Because I know you've all kind of been working with such a wide variety of people in the gap as well. Are you looking to maybe like do some co-writes for other bands and that kind of thing?
We've already started. Yeah.
Awesome. Who are you kind of co-writing for?
A lot of it's just friends. A lot of Ashton's been mainly for me it's just being friends, but Ashton does like
I like to write with up and coming bands. I think it's important to invest time into people that you know, respect what you've done and you respect the journey as well. So I like to go in and work with people who are up and coming. I just think it's really inspiring and also keeps me on my toes.
Yeah.
Because you every now and then you walk into someone who's up and coming, you walk into a room and they blow you away. You're like, damn, you're so much better than me at lyrics or melody or, you know, playing. And it really keeps you, you know,
keeping
lookout.
You on your toes. It's nice, though. That's cool. No, very, very good. I mean, you say the gigs are coming up. How many new songs are you going to be debuting for fans on these tour dates?
Should we give them a number? Is that right?
As many as possible.
There's definitely a large chunk. I'd say probably like 40% of the show is new songs.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah, if not, something like that. Maybe even a few more than that. 46.
Yeah, 46.5%? Something like that?
Nice. We're excited for these shows, man. It's gonna be fantastic to kind of go back and play these songs in smaller rooms.
Yeah,
it's gonna be incredible.
I say this with a lot of bands as well when they do these kind of warm up tours. How does your prep change? You know, you're used to doing the arena gigs. Are you having to do more vocal warm ups? Is there more finger exercises keeping everything together in those small sweaty rooms?
I don't think that we're looking at this as like a warm up tour. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think we're like warming up to do a bigger tour. Like, I think that we're looking at this as a tour that we need to do to like reconnect with our fans and stuff like that. I don't think it's going to be too different from our other shows aside from the size of the venue, you know? Yeah. That's like the only real difference. Like, we're still going to give it our 100% in the whole set and all the songs and stuff. But, yeah, like I wouldn't really like come to this show expecting it to be like a warm-up show to get ready for the tour at the end of the year. Like this is its own thing, you know?
Brilliant. Yeah. No, that's what we like to hear, man. I've got to ask as well, you've given us a hint on the music video. Give me a clue for the album title. Be as cryptic as you want. Oh, I've got to have a clue.
We dug into the lyrics on the album and also attempted to find, you know, a name for the album that... is bold and also kind of reflective on the mood of the record. I don't want to tell you it because that would ruin everything.
Indeed. I'm living for the surprise. It's okay. It's painful, but I know I want the surprise, really. Last question before we're going to play a bit of a game. I don't know if you guys saw Warped Tour lineup came out yesterday, which is very exciting.
It's the last one. Who's on it?
It's the last one. It's big. Well, you've got old favorites like All Time Lows in there, Black Veil Brides, Sum 41, Taking Back Sunday. They're all doing kind of small-scale ones. It's nice. And then for the full run, it's like As It Is, it's Water Parks, it's all these kind of big acts. Mm. But I was wondering, so you jumped up with, was it Somerset you jumped up with a few years ago?
I did, yeah. Amazing. 2016.
Quite a few years back, yeah. I was wondering, you've got so many friends playing, whether it's jumping up again or anything, you going to go check out the final Warped Tour dates?
I'd love to. I always love seeing All Time Low play.
Yeah.
I think they're a great live band. I don't know if we'll jump up. We'll see. We'll see what happens.
I'd actually like to go and see. I wrote with Water Parks recently, and if they're playing any new songs, it'd be cool to see the song we did with them, or even wrote with an Australian band called The Fame, and they're playing it as well.
The Fame are great. They are.
They're playing it, so it'd be cool to maybe see them.
Fantastic. When did you work with Water Parks?
I worked with Water Parks, with Zach Savini, who produces the All Time Low stuff and every Blink. We did that maybe a month ago.
Oh wow!
Yeah. So That's exciting stuff.
I'm going to catch up with Austin about that one. That's very interesting. All right, let's play a little bit of a game. We like to play games, everyone here. This is a game we call Welcome to the Comment Section. Here's how it works. I have genuine YouTube comments under different Five Sauce videos. You have to match it up to which video of yours it was under. They are all nice. I promise they are nice. You're going to be fine. Yeah, it's good.
I like them.
You like the mean ones? Fair play. Well, these are nice ones. This was number one from Hannah Nelson. Hello, Hannah. She has written, I am 1,000,000% convinced that the producer just handed Five Sauce the budget and said, do whatever, just make sure it gets filmed.
I know it's the She Looks So Perfect video.
I think
it's everybody.
Hey, everybody. It could be Don't Stop, though.
No.
I'm going to need to find out. Are we going, Hey, Everybody? Is that what we're doing?
I'm going, She Looks So Perfect.
It is Hey Everybody, so that's nice. Good. You got just overall consensus. That's what we're looking
at. I'm living a little in the past, I think. I need to let you look so
perfect.
Going
way back, it's fine. This next one's from Master Weifu Lee Taman. I really hope I pronounced that correctly. We'll see. They have written, I am the only one who thinks that Michael's voice is like orgasm, question mark. When was your voice particularly orgasmic?
I hear that in a Jet Black accent.
When is it not?
Jet Black Heart.
No, I'm gonna go Jet Black Heart acoustic.
Jibber.
Ooh, that is a very interesting choice.
We're not.
How specific are we?
Yeah, how specific are we?
I'll be honest, the original music videos.
Okay, cool.
You going Jet Black Heart? It was Good Girls.
Oh.
I guess I need to go back and have a look.
I mean, I wouldn't say that my voice is particularly orgasmic in that song.
I mean,
to be fair,
disagrees.
It's not that orgasmic in Jet Black Heart either.
Stop saying orgasmic.
Orgasmic.
Small which orgasm. Okay.
You think in Jet Black Heart's more like orgasmic?
It's definitely orgasm worthy.
Every track orgasm worthy. This next one is from a user called Lucas Hemotron. Hello. This is written in all caps, I have to say. Ashton looks so innocent, I can't. Callum, OMFG, you little shiz. What you doing, boy? OMG, Luke Solo, I'm going to. Damn it, Michael. Mikey is adorable. Okay. Which video?
Amnesia,
straight in with Luke. Any other choices?
That stresses me out.
I know. It's full on. It's enthusiastic, though, which is important.
Amnesia.
Luke's solo.
Sounds first album to me. Yeah,
Luke's got a solo.
Sounds first.
She's kind of hot.
No.
I think.
God, she's kind of hot.
It might be She Looks So Perfect.
The tension in Callum's face amnesia. Right now.
It's Amnesia.
I'm so sorry.
I'm going out on a whim.
No, it's Amnesia.
No, I'm leaving.
You're leaving?
She Looks So Perfect.
She Looks So Perfect from Callum. The rest of you are saying Amnesia. Is that what we're going with?
No, I'm saying she's kind of hot.
She's kind of hot. You're all wrong. It's Girls Talk Boys. So there we go.
Oh, what? I forgot we did a video for that.
What?
It was the coolest one. The Ghostbusters stuff, man.
You like jazz.
All right.
That tired. It's all coming out. This is the last one. We can redeem all. This is from a user called Blake Rosier. Hello, Blake. I was the fry cook in this video. Most fun I have had on set in a long time.
She Looks So Perfect.
Smiley face.
She Looks So Perfect for sure.
It is indeed. She Looks So Perfect. Hi, Blake. How about that?
I didn't know that. The fry the dude, cook right? commented?
Apparently so. Top comment, by the way, on that video.
He was
really?
Cool.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
He's putting the chips on the...
Yeah, sorry, you were there, weren't you?
No.
Yeah, and you were there.
No.
You were there.
Yeah,
I was
there.
You were at the diner, right?
Sounds like the most ridiculous dream.
The fry cook was there, and you were there, and you were there.
But you were...
So many memories. But that's nice. He clearly had a very nice time. Yeah. Any memories
loved
of these videos?
It.
Like, what is there any particular like fun video memory you have? What's your favorite one to shoot? Any particular one?
Probably the most recent one that's not out yet.
Oh, okay. It's performance-based, apparently.
It's performance-based and exhilarating.
Hey, technically, I didn't say performance-based.
You just said performance.
I just said
very
performance.
True. Oh, is that an extra clue? Are we talking... God.
Let's just say the new video is high speed.
Hot.
High speed.
It's fresh. It's now.
It's fresh. It's hot. It's new.
So many clues. So little time. Boys, it's been absolutely fantastic chatting to you. We really, really love the single and the one that we've bleeped as well. Fantastic. Can't wait to hear the album.
If you don't bleep it, I will hunt you.
I believe you, which is why I'm going to have to bleep it, because I can see that anger in your eyes.
He told someone last night that he was going to bite their nose off.
That's a secret.
He's very serious.
Who did you try and bite the nose off?
No.
Someone that tried to say that.
It was a metaphor.
It was a metaphor.
I was like, if you were a snowman and you had a carrot nose, I would bite your nose off.
It was a misunderstanding.
That's what happened.
Never mind.
No, they were like, they were not going to bleep it out, and he was like, I'll bite your nose off. You. beeping snowman.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Bye. 5 seconds of summer, everybody.
Bye.
5 seconds of summer, ladies and gentlemen. The boys. Woo! The boys are back. I'm delighted that they're back. Now, we should say, obviously, as you just heard, we've heard a little bit of new Five Sauce music that you are not privy to yet, because we're just that good, guys. And we're not allowed to say the title of it. I will give a little extra detail. We tweeted at the time when we heard it, a quote from The Office, I forget who said it, which was, "This is perfect music to ride a horse to." And I stand by that. It really, really is perfect music to...
Saddle up.
Yeah.
It's a fist pumper, isn't it? It's proper hands in the air.
Dothraki realness.
Serving Dothraki realness on the new Five Sauce album. That's going to bang live, though, isn't it, that one?
I can't wait.
That's going to be a big one. Heaven in April, they're coming over in London.
How did you find meeting them, James?
It was good,
yeah,
you know?
James.
Boys. Oh, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry, guys. I was whisked away to a hotel in deepest, darkest...
I met them over
you
on
did,
Pop
exactly.
Buzz Presents. They
Indeed.
Were lovely boys.
No, they are nice guys.
Ashton's very chatty, isn't he?
He is. He's become the bona fide spokesperson by his own doing. He's a chatty young man, but no, they're all lovely lads, all terminally hungover, if I'm honest with you, but by their own admission as well. So I think when you see the videos that'll be up this week, you'll be able to tell that one as well. But fair enough, they've got a lot to celebrate because they're back once again. Love those boys. No point in really doing much of a rating, is there? I mean, you guys weren't there in the flesh. Although I would like to do a little rating for the unheard Five Sauce song that they haven't heard. Yet. Wow. So, Woody, untitled Five Sauce horse riding banger, what would you give it out of five?
Out of five?
Yes, please.
Well, it's their best song to date.
Yes, it is.
So, I'm going to give it
4.75. Very precise. I respect it. Well thought through. Katie, same question. Untitled Five Sauce banger, what are we rating it?
I see your 4.75 and I raise you. 4.76.
Damn.
Ooh, girl.
We're going up. Should I go 4.77? Should I do it? Should I do it? Push the boat out. No, it's a solid five. It's a solid five from me. It's the best song they've ever done. So strap in when that one comes. And we'll let you know which one it is when the album eventually drops its track list. We'll see.
This has just been a...
Go on. We'll beep that as well. Go on.
This has just been a humble brag that we've listened to another Five Sauce song.
Yeah, we have.
I'm really sorry, fans. This... sounds awful.
They like the details. They want to know that when the album drops, which one they should play while they are riding their horse.
That's
dressed
true.
As a member of the Dothraki. They need to know this.
Prepare your horse riding.
Prepare your steed. Right. That's about it for this week, guys. Do go and subscribe over on iTunes and all the other lovely places you get your podcasts, and go back and listen to all our previous episodes with all our other guests as well. We will be back next week. Until then, it is goodbye from Katie. Say goodbye.
Bye.
It's goodbye from Woody. Say goodbye.
Ciao.
And it's goodbye from me. We'll see you next week.